Welcome to Horty Springer's Health Law Expressions podcast on a segment we like to call the Kickback Chronicles. I'm Henry Cassell.
And I'm Hala Mazaffer. We invite you to kick back and relax as we dive into this week's case. The title of today's podcast is Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Gets the Rock Doc 20 Years on the Slammer.
Now, the opioid epidemic is a healthcare problem. Healthcare professionals are supposed to be the frontline defense against this scourge on society. That is why the federal government takes it very seriously when, and to quote from an assistant U.S. attorney who was involved in this case, the epidemic of opioid abuse is fueled by doctors and other healthcare professionals like the defendant in this case who are willing to overprescribe highly addictive drugs and exploit patient pain for their own financial gain. We actually feel compelled to discuss this case, not just because of the colorful character at its center, but more importantly, to shine a light on how the lack of medical supervision of a nurse practitioner, the failure of local pharmacies to police the prescriptions for controlled medications they were filling, and the failure of the state nursing and medical boards to act in the face of pretty egregious conduct contributed to the flow of illicit drugs and allowed dangerous prescribing patterns to go on for way too long. Much longer than appears to be reasonable under the circumstances. Hala, why don't you tell us about those circumstances?
Oh, it'd be a pleasure, Henry. So this all brings us to today's case, which takes place in the small town of Jackson, Tennessee, to visit a locally known celebrity that goes by the name of Rock Doc. But before we get even a foot farther into the story, we want to take a second to clarify that Rock Doc is, in fact, not a doctor at all, but a nurse practitioner by the name of Jeffrey Young.
As implied in the pilot episode for what Mr. Young surely hoped to one day be a successful reality TV series, The Rock comes from Mr. Young's rock and roll lifestyle. Where the doctor part came from and how he was allowed to use that term for many years, we're not so sure.
So besides being a reality TV hopeful, Mr. Young operated and partially owned a small medical practice called Preventagenics. Preventagenics may have started as a pain management clinic, but from what we've been able to tell, both from the indictment and the pilot for Young's reality TV show, Preventagenics evolved into a very different medical practice than what you're probably used to. So I was at my PCP's office last week, and after I checked in, I sat in absolute complete silence in a waiting room with two other people until I was called back for my appointment. Preventagenics was nothing like that. So the DOJ described Young's practice as a party-type atmosphere. There was loud rock music playing throughout the entire office, from the waiting rooms to the exam rooms. And based on video shots from the pilot and a very lengthy article about the Rock Doc in The Atlantic, this practice was busy. The Atlantic reporter who wrote the original article on the Rock Doc spoke with several former employees of Preventagenics who claimed that Mr. Young would see anywhere from 50 to 85 patients a day, which is a lot. In your average 8-hour day, that would come out to 6 to 10 patients an hour. And if you know anything about CPT codes, there's one CPT code, 99212, for all our fans out there, that's supposed to be between 10 to 19 minutes in length. And that's just for straightforward medical decision making. But from his video and from the evidence presented, it appears that most of his patients presented with conditions that required more than just your straightforward medical decision making. So there was a question of how did he see so many patients in a day?
But we want to state up front that running an unusual and some might call strange medical practice is not a crime. You can play rock music full blast in your waiting room for all you want. The worst you're going to do is weed out certain patients, like me and Hala, from returning. And if you can physically see that many patients in a day and are properly billing for them, you've not done anything wrong. Here, the Rock Doc's billing practices were not what got him into trouble. Unfortunately for the Rock Doc, what was happening in those exam rooms was the cause of his demise.
So as a result of the opioid crisis, many states have developed an opioid monitoring program, and Tennessee is no different. Tennessee's Controlled Substance Monitoring Program detects pain management patients' non-compliance with their treatment plan. It has individual reports on patients that contain prescription data for all controlled substances dispensed by pharmacies in the state of Tennessee. As a part of this program, pharmacies are required to report the patient's name, the particular controlled substance and dosage dispensed, the quantity, the prescribing physician's name, the date the prescription was issued, and then a whole slew of other things. So as with most states, Tennessee was supposed to be keeping a close eye on the controlled substances being distributed within its borders.
Now, so you have this medical practice, Preventagenics, which officially opened its doors in 2014. And from the time it opened its doors until 2017, the DOJ alleged that the Rock Doc knowing and intentionally unlawfully distributed and dispensed mixtures and substances containing controlled substances. The DOJ alleged that Young used his power to prescribe Schedule II controlled substances like oxycodone, hydrocodone, and fentanyl, and Schedule IV controlled substances outside the course of professional practice and without a legitimate medical purpose. He was also alleged to have generated large profits from those prescriptions and then used those profits for personal purposes. Young was convicted of illegally prescribing medically unnecessary controlled substances to hundreds of patients, including a pregnant woman who was specifically cited in Young's indictment. In fact, this woman's child was eventually born addicted to opioids and was diagnosed with fetal abstinence syndrome. They allege that he did all this to promote his television pilot and his podcast.
Both of which are available on YouTube, and I think Henry and I can agree that they are a must-watch.
Sorry, Hala, it's not my cup of tea. Give me the Real Housewives show anytime over this stuff.
Well, this pilot particularly gives you an interesting and unique view into what this kind of behavior actually looks like in practice. I feel like we talk a lot about it a lot, but you don't really get to see it. But even though this wasn't his intended purpose with that pilot.
Yeah, the DOJ alleged that Young's motive for prescribing controlled substances were often notoriety, status, sex, and money. They specifically alleged that Mr. Young used his prescribing power to have sex with female patients, alleging he would prescribe medically unnecessary controlled substances to female patients whom he was having inappropriate physical relationships with.
Now, the indictment doesn't get into the nitty-gritty of the alleged inappropriate relationships, so we won't either, but the Atlantic article on the Rock Doc includes a lot of speculation and accounts by other people. So the rumors are all there, but we're going to spare you the details here.
The indictment also alleged that Mr. Young treated patients while he was intoxicated on alcohol, marijuana, or other controlled substances. He also freely prescribed controlled substances to his friends and family and promoted the use of illicit drugs, including marijuana.
The DOJ also alleged that Young intentionally ignored the state's guidelines for prescribing controlled substances. So in 2016, the CDC issued guidelines for prescribing opioids for chronic pain. In that guidance, it warned that medical professionals should avoid prescribing opioids and benzodiazepines concurrently whenever they can because of the risk of potentially fatal overdose. Later that same year, the FDA issued a black box warning, which is by far its strongest warning, to the drug labeling of prescription opioid pain meds and benzodiazepines. The FDA specifically warned that the combined use of the opioids and benzodiazepines depresses the central nervous system and can result in serious side effects like slowed or difficult breathing and death. The FDA warned that healthcare professionals should limit prescribing these together and caution that they should only be prescribed together when alternative treatment options are inadequate. Essentially, prescribing opioids and benzodiazepines around the same time quadruples a patient's risk of overdose and death from the prescribed drugs. It also raises the risk of drug diversion. But despite these warnings, the indictment alleged that Mr. Young knowingly and intentionally ignored the inherent risks of overdose, drug abuse, and death that accompany prescriptions of highly addictive opioids, benzodiazepines, and muscle relaxers, both independently and in combination when prescribing these items to patients.
Well, and this causes me as a former pharmacist to ask, where in the heck were the local pharmacies when they were presented with these scripts? And where's this Tennessee controlled substances monitoring program? So you might all ask, was this a rogue nurse practitioner that was somehow allowed to practice independently? No. Tennessee regulations state that a supervisory physician must be responsible for ensuring compliance with the applicable standard of care. The regulation specifically indicates that once every 10 business days, a supervising physician must make a personal review of the historical, physical, and therapeutic data and must so certify by signature on any patient within 30 days when a controlled substance has been prescribed. Now, unfortunately for the people in this town, Mr. Young's supervising physicians did not appear to be doing their duties diligently. Over the course of Mr. Young's time at Preventagenics, he had at least two different supervising physicians, two of which were also named in the indictment. The first being Dr. Alexander Alperovich, who later stepped down, and the supervising physician was then occupied by Dr. Andrew Rudin. Under the purported supervision of both of these physicians, the OIG claimed that Young, with his supervising physician's knowledge, prescribed controlled substances without ever seeing or treating purported patients, prescribed a dangerous drug combination known as the Holy Trinity, opioids, benzodiazepine, and muscle relaxer, prescribed dangerous combinations of opioids and benzodiazepine, failed to monitor patients for addiction and diversion of their prescribed drugs into the illicit drug market, ignored drug screens showing patients were taking illicit drugs and drug screens showing patients were not taking the controlled substances prescribed them and therefore were likely diverting the drugs to other users, failed to corroborate patients' reports of pain through x-rays, MRIs, and other diagnostic tools, and also failed to properly examine, diagnose, and provide treatment plans for patients. And the million-dollar question in this, what about the supervising physicians? The DOJ alleged that first Dr. Alperovich and then Dr. Rudin joined in the conspiracy in around December 2015 and continued in it around till around July 2016 for the first doctor, and then Dr. Rudin was alleged to have joined in the conspiracy in around August 2016 and continued until January of 2017. Both physicians were alleged to give Young's practice the appearance of legitimacy by lending their names to Preventagenics and by allowing the use of their names and licenses to appear on Young's prescriptions. By doing so, the government alleged that both physicians purported to supervise Young at Preventagenics and accordingly were responsible for reviewing all of his patient charts for the patients who were issued prescriptions for controlled substances. Both physicians were alleged to know that under their supervision, and I use those in quotes, Young prescribed controlled substances not for legitimate medical purposes and outside the course of professional practice. And both physicians accepted money derived from the proceeds of the conspiracy in exchange for this purported supervision. Again, if you could see me, you would see me making air quotes.
So the rock dog truly ran a rock and roll style practice. All in all, according to a 2023 DOJ press release, in total, Young illegally prescribed more than 1 million medically unnecessary controlled substance pills to hundreds of patients. In April 2019, Mr. Young and both physicians, supervising physicians, were indicted by a federal grand jury. And in April 2023, a federal jury convicted Young of a laundry list of items, including conspiracy to unlawfully distribute controlled substances, maintaining a drug-involved premise, and 13 counts of distributing controlled substances, six of which involved distribution to that pregnant woman we briefly mentioned. For convictions this serious, he faced a maximum penalty of 40 years in prison for each count involving distribution to a pregnant woman, and 20 years in prison for each of the other counts. Fortunately, the court went a little easy on Mr. Young, and in March of 2024, he was sentenced to only 20 years in prison, but I still want to point out that's a lot from what we've seen in this general area of convictions.
20 years is not a light sentence. And as for the physicians, The second witness called to Mr. Young's trial was Dr. Aparovich, who testified that Young's charts weren't normal and very abbreviated. He also testified that he reviewed about 50 of them. Most of the patients were prescribed controlled substances, and he was surprised that the charts, there wasn't much information on the patient's medical history, like symptoms, illnesses, you know, the kind of stuff you normally see in a medical record. He also admitted that when someone from the medical board came to inspect and ask questions, he lied to the board. His exit from Preventagenics was also unique, especially for a so-called supervising physician. He also testified that when he quit, he was told by the Preventagenics staff not to tell Young he was quitting until another nurse practitioner came to work, because Young would get upset and would this would affect Young's work with patients. Now, Dr. Rudin, who was the next supervising physician, pled guilty to one count of false statements related to healthcare matters and was sentenced to 12 months and one day in prison, to be followed by 2 years of supervised release. Dr. Aparovich pled guilty to one count of making a false statement relating to healthcare matters and was sentenced to 2 years of probation. But lest you think they got off easy, remember, these are not all the penalties that these physicians suffered. In May of 2019, after Dr. Rudin's indictment and arrest, he entered into an agreement with the New York Board of Medicine that he would be forbidden from practicing in medicine in New York, but it did not require him to admit to any misconduct. Also in February of 2021, the Illinois Department of Medicine placed Rubin's medical license on probation through at least August of 2023 and indefinitely suspended his controlled substance license. And we're willing to bet that the OIG will use the guilty plea to exclude both physicians from participation in all federal healthcare programs for at least 5 and perhaps as many as 10 years. Whether an active participant or a passive supervisor, crime just doesn't pay. If you want to learn more about compliance in the False Claims Act, the anti-kickback statute, the Stark Law, amendments to these laws, and much, much more, consider joining Dan Mulholland, myself, and our newest faculty member,
hey,
Ayla,
in
Las Vegas in 2024, from November 14 to 16. For our next seminar on these topics. In the interim, be sure to check out the Horty Springer website to find out how to receive our free weekly newsletter, the Health Law Express, as well as for more information about new and upcoming opportunities on this and many other health law related topics.
Thanks for listening, and tune into the next edition of the Kickback Chronicles so you can keep learning from the misfortune of others.